Hello, everybody, and welcome to Friends of the Force, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Brad, and on today's show, we are joined by a very special guest. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to chat with Gwendolyn Yeo, who is the voice of Nala Se on Star Wars The Bad Batch. Unfortunately, Sarah could not join me for this episode due to timing, but nonetheless, very, very excited to finally bring this to all of you listening. Gwendolyn has been involved with Star Wars animation dating back to the early days of the Clone Wars, and she's also starred in one episode of Star Wars Resistance as a stormtrooper, so she's definitely very familiar with a galaxy far, far away, and it was just so fun to pick her brain about what it's been like to return as Nala Se in The Bad Batch. And in general, she's just been around in the industry for so long. She's had so many different video game, voiceover, television roles. She's a musician and a writer, so she does it all, really. And I'm just so excited to get the chance to talk to her. So without further ado, let's turn it over to my exclusive interview with actress Gwendolyn Yeo from Star Wars The Bad Batch.
I require an update.
Omega was rescued by the same clones I encountered on Pantora. I can track them, but that will cost extra.
No. As long as she is not in the hands of Lama Su, she is safe. I will transfer your payment.
If you change your mind, you know how to reach me.
To kick things off, you've been involved in nearly all of the Star Wars animated shows, including The Clone Wars, Resistance, and now the Bad Batch. You're one of the lucky few who've had that opportunity. I want to know from your perspective, how would you kind of characterize the personalities of each of those projects and, like, you know, being involved with each of those over the years, like how have they continued to heighten your appreciation of working within Star Wars?
I would say I wish that I could say every movie, every on-camera or VO project was as high quality as Star Wars, but you know, they're not always. I'll just put it that way. So I would say that there is sort of a, you know, a through line and a spine through all the projects that I've done for Star Wars and Lucas, is that I think the meticulous nature of everyone, from, you know, audio to the writers to the graphic team, et cetera. And you know, particularly with, you know, The Bad Batch with Dave Filoni and Jennifer and Brad, you know, I feel like obviously it's an honor. And, you know, starting with the Clone Wars, you know, I never thought that, you know, Nala Se would turn into, you know, a great relationship with Dave Filoni. And then from there, for it to expand into, you know, other different characters from writing for me, and then for it to, you know, diverge into other paths, other projects, and then finally into The Bad Batch. But I would say that, you know, just by time alone, I think perhaps production value, you know, it has increased, technology in terms of that stuff. But in terms of great storytelling, nuance of character, but really, really great storytelling and the meticulousness of George Lucas, really, who oversees everything, hasn't changed at all. And I think that's what keeps me coming back and keeps the fans coming back, I think. Yeah, I think that, you know, explosions and, you know, giant movie star names, is very different from what really hits the heart of people, right? Like good, evil, hope, people struggling with things, and also the beauty of the imagination. So yeah, I think that I think there's just such a high level of operation in this wide universe, on camera or not, that keeps me coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Jennifer and Dave, obviously, as working with them, and there's been a lot of different directors that you've worked with on the various Bad Batch episodes you've been involved with, you know, Nathaniel Villanueva, Stuart Lee. I'd love to know, just what is the collaborative process look like between the various, like, writers and directors that you're working with each episode, especially now remotely, when a lot of that work, you're not with the other cast members. Now it's just you and maybe whoever's on the other side of the camera. But what does that look like, and how involved is that process for you?
Yeah, and no, I think it's a great question. You know, when I first did Clone Wars, you know, I think Nala Se in particular was sort of more cool, sort of a little cold, perhaps a little more straightforward. And we couldn't really just sort of chip through her armor, as it were, you know, however understated she was. But I think with the Bad Batch, you know, to be approached, which was a beautiful surprise. I mean, you just don't know. But, you know, if Star Wars approaches you again, it's you don't really say no. So I kind of had a sense of what the arc of her, of what she was going to kind of go in. We didn't get every episode in advance, hardly. It's like the Pentagon with Star Wars, and rightly so. But I think that, you know, when I was working with, I think there was some trepidation, you know, working with how are we going to portray, how are we going to portray Nala Se in a way that shows her vulnerability, but not, break out of her being a Kaminoan and break out of still her position and power. So, it was very collaborative. I mean, we did multiple takes. As I said, John Korbach, Dave Filoni, like Brett Rao and the writers, like we really talked about it. We did multiple takes, and because, you know, the scale of Nala Se, you know, it's not like a piano where it's, you know, however many octaves, five octaves or something, you know, I think for her, it's more of a pentave, you know, it's like a five scaled way. So I think every little degree of which she was played, like one degree right or left, made a huge difference. So that's something that we have to sort of figure out. And also, and I think less is more with her. So I think we found that pocket, and there was such an internal struggle for me, I think, with her, but I think because the writing is so good, I akin it to a very, very good film script, that shot, you know, in extreme close-up. And I think that we were able to make that happen. And it's very rare that you can do that, you know, in a cartoon. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Nala Se storyline, I think, speaks to the show's ability to have a larger scope and still stay character focused within the Bad Batch group. And it's really cool to see the Kaminoans as a part of that. But what do you think of the show's ability to provide that, you know, galactic picture of what everything looks like, and also how Nala Se kind of fits into that? Like, how do you think that's sort of almost a distinct flavor of this series?
I think that's above my pay grade. What I, you know, in terms of how it fits into the galaxy, I just know that I can only speak from my character, you know, mm-hmm. and in terms of what, I mean, the Star Wars series is so vast, you know, with live action and all the different series that they have. So, you know, I think you have to talk to George Lucas about it, or Dave Filoni about it, in terms of their brilliance, you know, in terms of that, or their themes of Alpha and Omega and all of that. But all I can go back to is for Nala Se being a Kaminoan, that for her, she's fighting for her own species, but she's also for the first time finally standing up. We're able to see her standing up for something she's created, which I think is a really beautiful and unusual thing. So, you know, we'll just have to see where the story goes from here. In terms of how it fits into the palette of the universe of Star Wars, I think it's as I said, you know, really a sense of good and evil, but also that sometimes you can't label a character for who they are, to say villain, non-villain. Is this Star Wars-y? Is it not Star Wars-y? You know, there's going to be iterations, right? And different ways of different production teams. But at the end of the day, I think we're going back to great storytelling, meticulous storytelling, and George Lucas having a final look at what's going on. So I think he's the through line. So if you want someone galactic, you just turn to him, and then he's got the final say. I think he's making sure that everything is staying within the tapestry of what he intended from the very beginning, that women can be, you know, warriors and and there's good and bad, and there's hope, and lonely people can feel less lonely, and people who love can nerd out and everything. I think he gets it.
Yeah. And one last question here for you, but is there a great piece of advice that you've gotten from one of the writers or directors as you've approached Nala Say, like through this different lens? Again, you said she's in a position of not power anymore, but almost like fighting for her life, like you said. So is there anything that really helped you get into that mindset when you approached her?
I think it was more reassurance, more than advice, that to trust my instincts, and that they were like my buoys, that if they felt and they needed left or right, that they will let me know, that I didn't need a pat on the back to say, good work, that's great. That I knew that I would give them a palette of what was going on, and that there would be an entire team that was involved in it, very much like the movie making process of it. You know, I think what I was really proud of was when Dave was making fun of me, because, you know, I'd be like, you know, I'm in studio pre-pandemic, you know, I'm in studio with D Baker, who's a good friend, and Bob Bergen's a good friend, and then Michelle, who was lovely, you know, and we're just, you know, we're like, blah, 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 you know, in between takes. And suddenly it's like, now I'll say, and I just like, and there's a stance, you know, an erect spine, you know, sort of like a Botoxed face, as it were, and my hands. And I think that Dave was like, you know, Gwendolyn, like, it's, you know, I don't know how you pull it like that, but you're just able to snap into that. And we found her together right from the beginning. And to still keep that and have those degrees, I think was very collaborative. So to have that reassurance and trust as an actress, my body, that if the material is great, somehow your body will fall into place and the voice is going to come.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Friends of the Force. Again, it was on the shorter side with limited time, but I was just so thankful to have the opportunity to talk with Gwendolyn and bring her insights as Nala Say to all of you. If you're new to the podcast, we do Bad Batch recaps every single week, so make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you listen, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That way you get all of our newest episodes as soon as they drop. As for myself and Sarah, who are the two hosts of the show, you can find us on Twitter, Goodreads, and Letterboxd. And you can also find this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. If you did enjoy the episode, consider taking a couple extra minutes out of your day and leaving us a written review. Helps other people find the show and join the Star Wars discussion. And we also have a Patreon that starts at just $1 a month. So thank you to all of our current patrons: Adam, Amy, Anna, Brian, Brian, Cheryl, Deborah, Donnie, Elegy, Jesse, Jen, Knights of Ren, Huang, Levi, Lindsay, Lucy, Marie Claire, Neil, Rachel, Sarah, Saber Bouquet, Skytalkers, Travis, and T. So once again, thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, may the Force be with you always.